Welcome to Medicine Trails, a life in many worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kuruk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is called Looking at a Vision.
Looking at a vision. When you look at a vision, it's like looking at shadows and hints, and it takes years and years to learn to interpret what you are really seeing. A lot of my training and all my youth was mostly devoted to understanding the gift of seeing and visions. In the old days, we didn't call them visions. What was said was, you could see. After years of training, some of the older women were so good at seeing, they could sit down with a person and tell you your whole life history and what would happen to you in the future. Not in the sense of telling you about your day-to-day living, but an overall view of your life with some incidents in it that were specific. In my experience, the visions come in dreams. This isn't like a dream where you go to sleep and have dreams that come in fragments. Visions are usually a clearer picture, and you remember the dream clearly, like my dream of being on the road and my feeling of being desperately alone, with no one around and the trees around me and the gray dirt of the road and the green grass on the side of the road are like a picture in my mind, which stays there. I first had that vision when I was 3.5 years old, and now I'm 74 years old, and I can still see that distinct picture. So the visions stay with you. Sometimes you have a nightmare and you think, now is this a vision or not? Because it stays in your mind. But then, when you try to examine it, it's like trying to examine fog or something. It just drifts away from you the closer you try to look at it. But in the dream vision, you can put it up and look at everything that happened, every word and every scene. My vision when I was 3.5 years old was a premonition of my parents being killed in a wreck when I was 6. When the old ladies asked me about this vision at the time it first took place, they knew it was a premonition of my parents' death. This was the first vision I remember having, and the first one I remember being questioned about. They may have questioned me earlier about other visions that I don't remember because I was so young. As a person becomes deeper in their understanding of visions, you can know something that you never saw anything about, but the thought comes into your mind, and sometimes it comes out of your mouth and you don't mean it to. It kind of surprises you and you just say it. When you're saying, what you're saying is absolutely so, but you never saw anything other than a vision to inform you of it. That speaking out is also a part of the seeing. After some time of working with having visions, I no longer had to see a vision. In some cases, the knowledge would just come into my mind and I could speak that content. What I said at that time was a fact. It wasn't something that I thought up, dreamed up, or had done. I always had this feeling that the medicine part of my life is a separate thing from my life. I draw the analogy that when a Christian person gets a call to preach and is made a priest or a preacher, he is expected to be on that plane of being a priest all the time. He is just a priest and he can't be simply human. But with the Indian people, you are human, and at times you are a spiritual person, but you are not expected to be that spiritual person every day. I don't know about other medicine people's visions because you don't ask and they don't tell you. They only tell you what you need to know personally, yourself, for your training. They may have other gifts, but if you don't need to have those other gifts, it doesn't matter, and they don't train you in them. The training had more to do with believing than it did with, you take 9 drops of this fluid here and add these herbs. The training had more to do with getting your mind set in this certain way, understanding the world from this other perspective. They worked on that harder than they ever worked at the other level of training. It was always, what did you dream? And what did you see? More likely, when they asked me about my dreams, they already knew my parents were going to die. They never told me that, but my assumption is that they knew because they had that kind of knowledge. They knew my whole damn life when I was 3.5 years old, but they didn't know that there would be no Fitawinen born for me. That was something they did not know. So at the time that they were training me, the parents of that Fetuinen were alive. I figure the father of this Fetuinen probably died in World War II because the boy would have been 11 or 12 years younger than I was. So I was being trained to serve a Fetuinen who was not yet born. They thought it was more than likely his father was killed in World War II. That would have been the right time frame. They also thought the father could have been killed in a car accident or anything else. But since there was a big war, they figured that was probably the cause. That's logical. I don't care how far out we sound. The medicine people are logical. By 1945, and at the end of the war, I was around 12 years old, and they knew there was no Fetuinen for me. They only told me what I needed to know, which was that he had not been born. If you want to know something from a medicine person, they would only tell you what you needed to know. You could ask large questions about being a medicine person. They would not tell you, because you had no need to know everything. So with his not being born, that was all I needed to know, and was all I ever was told. So mostly with the Indians, if you don't ask the right question, they will give you a facetious answer. You have to ask a precise question to get a real answer. You have to know what you want to know. If you're an Indian and a medicine person, you had better have a precise question if you're going to get an answer from another medicine person. After my parents died, the medicine women's help became more intense and I could see more things. I think their deaths made me older and matured me. Before their deaths, my mother took care of me and I was a baby. She babied me and I had simplistic little visions. Then the realities of life hit when they died. I realized the seriousness of life. You could be here one day and the next you could be gone forever. I realized then that life wasn't simple. Before my parents died, life for me was just kind of little likes and dislikes. The medicine women told me not to ask anyone anything. They told me to go to Elk Valley, and the valley would talk to me and tell me what I needed to do. The Creator will tell you. Elk Valley has a little creek running through it. It's open with cedar trees, and I would say it's flat for about a half a mile, and then goes up on a bench. And the whole valley is about 3 miles long and about a quarter mile wide. It has spectacular rock structures like Chimney Rock, which sticks up like a great big chimney. It also has the Little Doctor Rock, which looks like the real Doctor Rock, which looks kind of like a big clamshell. I was probably 6 or 7 years old the first time they took me to Elk Valley, and I was too young to stay all night because I didn't belong there. There was a subtle difference between going to Elk Valley to visit and going there to make medicine for a ceremony. If I'm just going to go up the trail and do a few little prayers and soothe my soul, not doing anything except for myself, I can stop at the first camp where the creek crosses the trail. And I can stay there and the valley doesn't talk to me. It doesn't do anything. And I just stay there. I'm just visiting. I don't go up to Chimney Rock because I'm just there to bless myself, just like you would go to an altar and pray in a church. I'm praying for my soul, to soothe myself. My aunt used to go up the hill in the morning and bathe and stay there until late afternoon and come down. If you're praying for someone in your family, it is still praying for yourself because it's a personal thing. You don't stay all night when you are on the mountain for personal reasons because you might pick up too much power. Like when I went out there and made medicine for the brush dance and the voice told me to go home, it was because I had everything I needed to have for the dance to go. My directions were never to stay in the valley all night unless I was getting ready to be the medicine woman for a dance.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Other Side. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.